Welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is a podcast that's aimed at the heart of women who love being a mom. Or maybe it's for those of you who wish you were a mom. You're just aching to be a mom, but it hasn't happened to you yet. This is a podcast that's going to be for those of you who are empty nesters. You wish you could do it all over again, and your heart is still turning toward that singular occupation and calling known as motherhood. This is a podcast for those of you who are in the trenches of motherhood. Your daily life is about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, about potty training, about driver's permits. It seems like you are mired every day in the sludge of what being a mom is all about. I don't know what you're going through as a woman or as a mom, but I can guarantee you, this podcast is going to go to the heart of your mothering issues. Hi, welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is Carol McLeod, and I'm so excited about our time together today. I have been a mom for 37 years, and I've loved every bit of it. I have 5 children on earth and 5 children in heaven. I have 3 beautiful, smart, wise daughters-in-law. I have 1 brilliant, creative son-in-law, and I have 7 delicious grandchildren that I like to refer to as the 7 wonders of my world. Now, out of all that experience, out of all that depth of wisdom, I want to share with you today my top 10 list. That's right. I have a top 10 list for all of you who are in the trenches of motherhood, who are looking back at your mothering years. Perhaps you're a grandmother or an aunt. Perhaps you want to be pregnant, but you're not there yet. Maybe you're a foster mom or an adoptive mom. Listen, you don't want to miss my top 10 list. This is my list on how to raise a healthy, happy child who will still love you when they are 18 years old. And isn't that one of all of our goals? So let's hit it. Let's go. Here is number 10. Love to a child is spelled T-I-M-E. You know, busyness is the greatest curse of our generation. You will never be the mother that God has called you to be if you're too busy. I hear so many moms say, well, Carol, I spend quality time with my children. Well, that's good. But let me tell you something. Your children need quantity time. Your children need truckloads and boatloads full of your time. You know, we had these 2 great little boys, Matt and Chris, born 2 years apart during the month of January. And so, they'd go through Christmas, and they were the only nephews. They were the only grandchildren on both sides of the family. And so their Christmases were embarrassingly abundant. And then just 3 or 4 weeks after Christmas came their birthdays, when the gifts were just lavished on them again. And I'll never forget, it was the year that Christopher was 4 and Matt was 6, and we had dealt with all of this materialism, all of these gifts that had been given to them. And in February, they were bored and didn't know what to do. And I remember in my frustration, I said to them, honestly, I have given you the world. What more could you want? When Christopher looked at me with his bright blue eyes and his messy blonde curls, and he said, Mama, I just want you. And isn't that the truth? All of our children just want us. So if you are in what I like to call the trenches of motherhood, know what season you're in. I have never met a mother of grown children who wishes that she had spent less time with her children. A mother's presence throughout infancy and the entire preschool age is imperative to raising healthy, balanced children. Did you know that social scientists tell us that more learning takes place in the child's first 5 years than in any other comparable period. And do you know who their primary teacher should be? Well, it should be you, Mom. Experts also agree that 85% of a child's character is developed by age 5. If you want to impact your child's character, you will do it in those preschool years. I've also read that a way a child was raised in the preschool years accounts for at least 20 points of his or her IQ. I had an older mom one time tell me when my children were little, she said to me, "Carol, if you do it right, the teenage years will take more time than the toddler years." And I thought, "You've got to be kidding me. Surely you jest." But she was right. If you have children during the teenage years, you need to go into their bedroom every single night and sit on their bed and ask them questions. It's what a mom does. Now, on my top 10 list, number 9 is read to your children. When was the last time you read a story or 20 stories to your children? When my kids were little, often on a Friday or a Saturday night, we would have what I would call a book party. I would get out the laundry basket, take the dirty clothes out first, please. I'd put it in the hallway between their bedrooms, and I'd say, "Okay, fill it up with books." And we would spend hours reading all of the books that they could fit into one laundry basket. You know, we lived on such a strict budget when the kids were little. And you know what I learned? Taking a walk to the library doesn't cost anything. Checking books out of the library, as long as you return them on time, doesn't cost anything. But it can be a grand party for children. From the day that you bring your children home from the hospital, read to them. That's right. The day you bring them home, read them Pat the Bunny, I Love You to the Moon and Back. Spend more time reading with them than you do watching videos with them. Spend more time reading with your kids than you do on your smartphone. I remember when my babies were little, I used to take their infant hands and put their little hands on the Bible and say, "This is God's word. We love the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus loves you." Read to your children. Number 8, are you ready for number 8? Be a party animal. That's right, moms. I'm giving you permission. I'm inviting you to have the most fun home on the block. Turn every ordinary day into a cause for grand celebration. For St. Patrick's Day, I used to serve green mashed potatoes. That's right, I did. We would tell a joke a day when they were taking their vitamins. Every morning when they were taking their vitamins, I'd say, "Okay, I got a joke for you right now." On April Fool's Day, feed them chicken nuggets for breakfast and pancakes for supper. On the first day of spring, go for a walk and look for worms and flowers and birds and insects. Make snow ice cream during a blizzard. For their birthdays, make signs. You know, when Matt and Chris were little, we just didn't have any money. I couldn't even buy a cake mix to bake a birthday cake for them. And I thought one year, well, what do I have? It was the year Christopher was turning 2 and Matt was turning 4. And I had construction paper, and I had markers, and I had glitter. So I decorated our house with signs. Matt is 4. Chris is 2. I love you so much. Happy birthday to you. You're the best. I just make all these signs, and you know, we still do it today. Those signs have become part and parcel of McLeod family tradition. Color Easter eggs at Easter, bob for apples in October on the back deck, and take them to the dollar store to do their Christmas shopping for one another during the month of December. Bake cookies in the shape of basketballs during March Madness. Finger paint with them. Play catch with them in the yard. Make Play-Doh. Every day is a holiday, Mom, when you're sharing it with a child. Number 7, invite their friends into your home often. Get to know their friends and also get to know the parents of their friends. When your children are in elementary school or in middle school or in high school, ask their friends questions about what they believe, what they like to do, What music are you listening to? Hey, what's your favorite TV show? Have you been to any movies lately? Can you recommend a movie to me? What's the best book you've ever read? You should be a second mom to every one of your children's friends. I would ask my children's friends questions till they were cross-eyed. I'll never forget a story that our second son, Christopher, when he was in high school, the American history teacher was reviewing with the classroom, and she said to the class, "Can anybody tell me what the Grand Inquisition is?" And one of the teenage boys, 16-year-old, raised his hand and he said, "Yeah, it's when we go to Miss McLeod's house." I was known for asking questions and for getting to the heart of the matter. Are you ready for number six? Look at their faces when they're talking to you. Don't be on the computer. Don't be watching TV. Don't be preoccupied. Bend down to their level. Look at them intently. Hear not only their words, but also listen to the melody of their heart. Look them in the face when they're talking to you. And when you're talking to them, require the same thing. Say, "Look at me. Look at mommy's face when I'm talking to you." Number five, when you have to discipline, which you will, discipline in love. Never discipline in anger. I would always say to my children, "Look at mommy's face, look at me." I'd say it firmly, but not with anger in my voice. I would try never to yell when I was disciplining my children. When you have to discipline, remember who the parent is and who the child is, and you should act like the parent, not like the child. There are many things you can do to discipline your children. Give them a time out. No TV. Take away privileges. Take away their phones. Have them write an essay. Another thing that I would always do after the time of discipline is that I would hold them in my arms. I would spend time with them. I would have a time of compassion together, a time of intimacy together, so I could hear their heart. Because generally, when our children misbehave, there's something behind it. And I would want to know the something behind it. Let me tell you something I never did, is I never made them stand in the corner. I would rarely send them to their rooms. If they had to have a time out, it was generally at the kitchen table while I was working around, and they would just need to sit there. Number four, teach your children how to work. That's right. Teach your children how to work. When Matthew was 12 and Christopher was 10, Craig, my husband, his father came to me and he said to me, "Carol, you're a wonderful mom, but we need to teach these boys how to work. We need to teach them the value of earned money." And he took them to their house. They were homeschooled at the time. And every Monday, they would go to Pa's house and they would work all day. They'd rake the leaves, or they'd work in the barn with him. They'd work in the shop with him. They'd have to go over to their great-grandmother's house and do chores for her. And at the end of the day, he would pay them because he wanted them to know the value of earned money. Well, in the home, I believe that everybody should have chores to do that they're actually not paid for. A 2-year-old can fold washcloths very well. A 3-year-old can make his or her own bed. A 4-year-old can dust. A 5-year-old can unload the dishwasher. Give your children age-appropriate chores. We are a team, and teammates work together. We're a team, and we've made the mess. We're going to clean it up together. And let me just say about allowance, I do believe that children should get allowance, but only when their heart attitudes are in the right place and only when they realize the value of teamwork. And I also believe that when you give your child an allowance, you should teach them how to tithe and how to save. Number three, you ready for number three? We've taught our children how to work. Now, let's teach them how to serve. Let's just teach them how to serve with no remuneration involved. Today, you're going to go help grandma all day long. You might want to take your kids to a soup kitchen. You might want to train them to work in the nursery at church when they're young teenagers. You might have them give away their toys or their extra clothes. You might have them shovel the widow's driveway next door. But teach your children the value of serving in the community and at church. Number two. Are you ready for number two in my top 10 list? Tell your children, I love you every single day. Don't lay your head on the pillow at night if you haven't said those three precious words. If you're going to bed and you think, oh, did I tell Jordan that I loved him today? I don't know if I did or not. Get up and go whisper it to him even while he is asleep. Right on their bathroom mirror, Mom loves every kid in this house. I remember that one time Matt was having a hard time leaving me to go to the church nursery, and I wrote it on his hand, Mom loves Matt. And I closed his little fist over those words so that every time he got sad, he could open up his hand, even though he couldn't read yet, and he would know that those words said, Mom loves Matt. The first thing when they get up, you shouldn't be shouting out orders or instruction or correction to them, but look in their sleepy little faces and say, hey, Mom loves you today and we're going to have a great day together. Before they go to school, reassure them of your love. When they come home from school, tell them how much you love them and how you couldn't wait to be with them. Write them notes and put it in their lunch pails. Text them. Teenagers, if you've got teenagers or middle school kids with a phone, text them. Hey, just wanted to remind you how much I love you. Hey, I wanted to tell you how great I think you are. Send them an email at dinner time. Tell them how much you love them. And especially at bedtime, it should be one of their last things they hear every day is Mom loves you. And finally, number one, have you guessed what it is yet? Teach your children to love the Lord. Give your children the gift of a deep and of an abiding faith. Pray with your children. Say, hey, let's pray about that. When they're having a problem at school or the problem with a friend or a problem obeying, hey, let's pray together. You know, God answers our prayers and he's going to give you strength to do the right thing. I would often buy them a devotional book for Christmas or their birthday that we could do together or that they could do on their own. We would sing songs that taught them about faith. We would watch videos that taught them about their faith. And we made it a habit, a practice to go to church, not just on Christmas and Easter, but every Sunday of the year. I'll never forget when Christopher was a little boy. He was, you know, in between a year and 2 years old, and he just hated the church nursery. He just was not happy there. And every Sunday, I would dread it. I would see my number come up on the screen at church, knowing I had to go rescue my child from the nursery. And often I would just walk the church hallway during the service. And I said to my husband, Craig, who was a pastor on staff at the church, why do I do this? Why do I go to church every Sunday when all I'm doing is being in the hallway with a crying child? And he said, Carol, we do it to teach Christopher. This is what we do. This is who we are. We are a family who worships in the house of the Lord. Well, I hope those top 10 things have helped you. And before we close today, let's just take a moment and let me review with you what our top 10 list is. Number 10, love to a child is spelled T-I-M-E. Number 9, read to your children. Number 8, be a party animal. Number 7, invite their friends into your home often. Number 6, look at their faces when they're talking to you. Number 5, when you have to discipline, discipline in love. Number 4, teach your children how to work and the value of money. Number 3, teach your children how to serve. Number 2, tell your children, I love you every single day. And finally, teach your children to love the Lord. Let's pray. Father, for those who are struggling with infertility today, I pray that you'd open their womb and bless them like you did Sarah and Hannah and Elizabeth. Father, for those who are in the trenches of motherhood, I pray you'd give them strength and joy for another day. Father, for foster moms and mentor moms and adoptive moms, I pray that they'd know how valuable you are to your kingdom, that what they're doing is not second choice, but it's first best. And Father, for those women like me who are looking at motherhood in the rearview mirror, I pray that you'd reassure them of their value today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I hope you'll join me next time as we discover the joy of motherhood together. Join me on this journey that I'm calling the joy of motherhood. I don't believe that every mom gets to stay home, and that's fine. We're going to address that in future podcasts as well. But with the time that you've been given to your little ones, give them your whole heart. There is no mother my age who ever says, "I wish I would have spent less time with my children." We all say, "I wish I would have spent more." So thank you for joining me today. Thank you for listening to my story. We're going to have a blast as we discover the joy of motherhood together. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next week on The Joy of Motherhood.